Hi, this is Claire from The Hog House.
I'm Barbara Evans of Cabaret Fibre.
Hi, my name's Dave from Made to Fly Design.
Hi, I'm Mary.
And I'm Tess, and this is the Etsy Success Podcast.
We're part of the seller marketing team here at Etsy, broadcasting from Etsy's headquarters in Brooklyn.
This podcast is powered by Etsy and is your source for tips on improving your shop and for inspiration from your fellow sellers. Hey guys, before we start the show, we want to give a shout out to another podcast that we love and we think you'll love too. It's called the Etsy Conversations Podcast, and it's a show about, for, and by Etsy sellers just like you. It's hosted by Ijama Elazu, who's an Etsy shop owner herself. Her shop is called Simply Craft Supplies, and she interviews Etsy sellers about how they've built successful creative businesses. She also talks to other experts in their niche, so she's featured an accountant who shared tips for managing your finances, and recently a Facebook Live strategist who talked about enhancing your marketing through video. I love listening to Ijama's podcast because she shows a really genuine interest in her guests and their paths on Etsy. She asks thoughtful questions that are unique to each seller and their areas of expertise. And because of this, her show is full of fresh, actionable advice and really just honest conversations between like-minded entrepreneurs. So for instance, she recently interviewed Alicia from the Etsy shop One Blushing Bride. And I just love this conversation because Alicia talks about some very real doubts and fears that she experienced when she began her business, which also resonated with Ijama, and she talks about that a bit too. But I was just so inspired by Alicia because she quit her job as a paralegal before her shop had truly taken off so she could focus on her business and make it her full-time job. And when she did, she actually ended up exceeding her previous salary. So they talk all about how she got to that point and what she's learned along the way. Ijama is so great at sharing helpful resources on her show and on her website, which are both full of education that she's found useful in her own experience as a business owner and specifically in her Etsy shop. She also just created a new audio tutorial resource called the Seller's Resource, and you can find more info on that at thesellersresource.com. So check out the Etsy Conversations podcast by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Again, that's Etsy Conversations with Ijama Elazu, and you can learn more on her website, convome.com. So it is now April, which means that it's Earth Month. How do you feel about Earth Month, Mary?
I love Earth Month. I'm so into it. I've talked about this before on the show, but my sister's an herbalist and I make natural soaps and things like that. And so those kinds of things and sustainability are really important to me. And I also, as some listeners may know, had a stretch goal for the number of plants in my apartment. And I'm so close to reaching it.
Where were you at last time?
I think I was at like 42 or something, mm-hmm. And 40 something.
Okay.
But now I'm at 62. And my goal, if you remember, was 70 for the year. So I have to rearrange my goals and figure out what's going on with my situation.
You really got to reassess the rate at which you are acquiring your jungle of plants.
But it's Earth Month, so I
So you did it. This is intentional. Yeah,
this was supposed to happen.
Meeting the goal. Meet the goal on purpose.
Exactly. Meet the goal at Earth Month, have the cleanest air in anyone's apartment in New York.
Yeah, that's for
sure. And
keep on going up from there.
Yeah, and then eventually I'll live in a jungle. I'll have to have a machete to cut through everything. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
But it's not, obviously Earth Month is not all about purchasing plants for
your home.
Yeah, that's
true. That is very true.
There's a lot of sustainability efforts that all sorts of people do year-round, but especially for Earth Month and Etsy sellers, there's no exception.
Yes, I see a lot of really inventive ways of being more sustainable and having sustainable business practices Etsy. Like, for example, there is this one shop that I found not that long ago who make bags out of bouncy castles.
I have so many questions, but keep going.
so do I. I don't actually know how they acquire the bouncy castles. I don't know how they stumbled upon this.
Right.
But it's amazing to me that they have found a way to repurpose such a particular material, but I love it.
That is a very inventive way to be sustainable in your business.
Yeah, for a bit more intense than probably most people. There's another shop I think you're also familiar with who make these really beautiful lampshades out of used coffee filters.
Oh, yeah. Those are gorgeous. I had forgotten about those.
Yeah. I love the way that it looks because they also, you know, dye it some different colors. There's this great range of earthy tones and you would just never know that it's coffee filters, you know?
Yeah. And that seller uses coffee filters from like the local cafes and like their area.
And I think that she even gets her kids involved in it, too. Like, her kids, like, the coffee, like, the, you know, the grounds off of the coffee filters for her and stuff.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. But, yeah, it doesn't always have to be quite that drastic as, you know, making that actually part of your product. There's so many other practices that Etsy sellers employ to stay sustainable in their businesses.
I remember for a seller handbook story, I did one about just like being more sustainable with your packaging.
Yeah.
Lots of sellers use packaging. It's basically everybody except for digital downloads.
Yeah.
So,
which is also sustainable.
Which is also very sustainable by nature of it not requiring any packaging.
Exactly.
But for folks that do use packaging, there's like a lot of ways to be really sustainable and be thoughtful about the planet while you're shipping your items. Mm-hmm. And some people had some really cool ways to do that. So there was a woodworker and he started using the wood shavings from his work as packaging material instead of like styrofoam or even paper or anything like that. It was like waste that he was already creating. Mm-hmm. People loved this so much. He said he got such a great response for it to the point where people were asking to buy the shavings for their own gift wrapping kind of thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then I also talked to another seller who sold paper lanterns and their whole process was very sustainable. Like they tried their best to be like zero waste and all those kinds of things. So as part of their packaging, they made sure that they had like a little, like in their little thank you card, which was like also compostable, I feel like. They said, this part is compostable and this part's recyclable and do this and this and this, like all laid out really easily for you so that you know exactly what to do when you get the package.
Yeah, I love that so much because then not only are you making sure that people are disposing of the packaging properly, but you provide this space to connect with buyers who might share those values around sustainability.
Right. It's like saying, like, this is important to me. Like,
maybe it's important to you.
Yeah, maybe it's important to you. Here's the information if you need it or want it.
And then those people will be more likely to remember you for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely always pay attention to people who have like eco-friendly processes.
Yeah. And like you were saying earlier about the instant download sellers, another thing I love seeing on Etsy are vintage sellers because that is by nature sustainable as, you know, repurposing vintage clothes and antiques is eco-friendly.
Yeah. And I almost feel like that's like something that sometimes you forget as a buyer.
Yeah, you don't even.
That like you're just, yeah, you like vintage X because it's like a cool aesthetic and like you like the, you know, you like mid-century modern or whatever it is.
Reminds you of your childhood.
Exactly. Whatever it is. But it actually is like a very sustainable way to purchase and to sell.
Yeah. So in honor of Earth Month, we're talking a bit about the impact that Etsy sellers and Etsy has on the planet and also on public policy. Our advocacy team has accomplished a lot with the help of Etsy shop owners to affect laws and reach policy solutions with lawmakers. So first, I'll talk with Alyssa Meyer from our advocacy team about Etsy's ongoing efforts to fight for net neutrality alongside our seller community and how you can take action as an Etsy seller. And then so many Etsy sellers think so carefully about their impact on the planet, as we discussed just now. And our sustainability team has done some really interesting research on what buyers want to know about sustainable business practices. So our second guest, Chelsea Mosen, will share those buyer insights and talk about how Etsy Solar is impacting the planet. So Alyssa, tell me about what you do here at Etsy.
Yeah, awesome. So I manage public policy and policy research here at Etsy. My team is really dedicated to advocating for policy solutions that make it easier for you to start and manage and hopefully grow your micro business. A lot of the work that I do is really focused on the needs and the interest of Etsy sellers, obviously. But the role that I play is really the translator sort of between Etsy sellers and policymakers. And we have a ton of people here at Etsy who tackle your business challenges, mainly from a product perspective, like making updates and building tools that make it easy for you to do your work. Mm-hmm. And my team really tackles those same challenges, but from a public policy perspective. So that really covers everything from taxes and trade or international shipping to fighting to protect the open internet. We monitor new proposals and we jump in where we can make a difference. And we do that by bringing Etsy sellers directly to their representatives and sharing their concerns face-to-face. We find that when policymakers actually hear directly from our sellers, it really actually changes the way that they think about the issue, and it leads to a better understanding of, you know, the nuances of the challenges that you face that are really different from a, you know, traditional small business, which could be up to like 500 people, and most Etsy sellers are micro businesses.
Yeah, I think that's super important because so many policymakers just really don't realize how small a microbusiness can be. They might not really interact with Etsy much, so they don't realize that there are so many shops out there that are literally one person.
Yeah, 77% of Etsy sellers are businesses of one, and 97% work from their home, so it's really different.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, you guys have done a bunch of amazing work. I know that last year it was that you did the Microbusiness Caucus in DC.
Yeah. That was super exciting, of course. So we got together with four really great representatives from Congress on both sides of the aisle, and they formed a Congressional Microbusiness Caucus in the House. And that's when policymakers get together and they all really care about an issue, and it's a place to discuss and workshop new ideas and new proposals. So when we launched the Congressional Microbusiness Caucus about a year ago, there was the four founding members, and then since then, I think they're up to 26 members and still growing. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's a really cool video. I can link to it in the description for this, but there's a video that kind of recaps the fly-in, and there's a lot of great little snippets in there.
Yeah, totally. Like a representative sniffing like seller's soap.
That's oh, really? Weird. Yeah.
But that's, yeah, cool stuff.
I remember that. Yeah. And yeah, your team has done some really amazing work educating policymakers on things like international shipping regulations, but then also just the gravity of net neutrality. So I know that you guys have done a lot of work to fight for net neutrality. So maybe let's start by defining what that is.
Sure. So net neutrality is really just a set of principles that protects consumers like you and me and all of our awesome listeners from internet service providers. Those would be folks like Comcast or Verizon or wherever you, you know, pay your internet bill to. So it protects you from them blocking or slowing down your access to different websites and your access to like the internet in general. Mm. And over the years, those internet service providers, they're called ISPs for short lingo. They've started to create their own content by either buying media outlets and organizations. So rules were put in place by the Federal Communications Commission, which is the FCC, to stop those internet service providers from three things: blocking, throttling, and demanding more money for faster access. Those are what's called the bright line rules. The rules ensured that your Etsy shop would load just as fast as any other website, and your ISP couldn't choose to speed up Amazon or slow down eBay based on what that company chose to pay.
Right. So that's like if I was watching Netflix and it's not loading as quickly as another page because maybe that site paid Optimum more money so that its page would load faster.
Exactly. So, right, those rules also gave the FCC the authority to regulate the ISPs. That ensures that the customers like you and Etsy sellers are able to actually hold the ISPs accountable if they were to throttle or block your content. Those bright line rules were adopted in 2015 and then upheld by the courts a year later in 2016. And then last year, the new FCC chairman announced that he wanted to roll back all of the rules that protected consumers and even give up the FCC's authority to regulate the ISPs in the first place. So that was crazy and kicked off another round of the fight to protect the open internet. And you may remember in the summer, Etsy joined this huge day of action with a bunch of other companies and public interest groups, and we submitted public comments to the FCC, and 33,000 Etsy sellers also submitted comments. Unfortunately, the chairman had the votes he needed to pass the rollback of the rules. So now we're taking the fight to the courts and Congress, and we're trying to get net neutrality reinstated. So that's where we are.
Wow. Yeah. And I know that Etsy's strategy when it comes to fighting for net neutrality is a little bit different from a lot of tech companies. So can you tell me about what our strategy is?
Yeah, of course. So a lot of the net neutrality news coverage has really been focused on the fight between big tech, I'm using air quotes, and big cable companies. But really the heart of the issue is the 1.9 million Etsy sellers who are running their micro businesses every day through the open internet. So our strategy has always been and really will continue to be lifting those voices to the forefront. And we're doing this by continuing to mobilize Etsy sellers to share their stories and, you know, telling senators and congresspeople what their business actually means to them and their family. We've had a roundtable discussion with Etsy sellers and an FCC commissioner, which was really awesome. And that was just sitting around a literal roundtable, hearing from Etsy sellers about what the internet has done for their businesses and the ability to basically onboard to entrepreneurship seamlessly. So we look for every opportunity to connect our sellers directly with their representatives. You've probably seen an email or two with a link to contact your representatives, asking them to take action and sign on to the Congressional Review Act, or the CRA, that's in Congress right now. And that CRA would protect the net neutrality rules that we fought so hard for back in 2015. Congress has until April 23rd to use that tool, and that would roll back the rollback to the rules. So basically undo what was done in 2017.
Okay.
And so far, they need 51 votes in Congress, and we have 50 votes, and we just need that one more vote. So far this year, 15,000 Etsy sellers have reached out to their senators, and we're still pressuring really hard. Hopefully we'll get that 51st vote soon. But on the other side of the Capitol, the issue is playing out both in Congress and in the courts, and Etsy filed a petition to sue the FCC. We also joined the Coalition for Internet Openness, which is a group of mid-sized tech companies like us, in filing a joint petition to sue the FCC. And those court proceedings will take a very long time, but we'll definitely keep the community posted as we go along.
Cool. So I know you mentioned, you know, sending the emails to sellers and everything like that, but what are the steps that sellers can take to join the fight for net neutrality?
So, yeah, there should be a link in the description for this podcast episode to contact your senators. So just click on that, and it'll take you to a forum where you can ask your senator to sign on and be one more vote for the CRA. And then we also have a letter to the editor writing campaign that's active and ongoing, and we've had some really awesome sellers who have written to their local newspapers and publicly asking their senators to sign on too. So that's been really awesome. And if you're interested in that, reach out to etsyadvocacy@etsy.com, and we will get you set up with a toolkit to contact your local newspaper.
So today, April 17th, is everyone's favorite time of year, Tax Day. I hear that your team is taking action for tax simplification. So can you tell me about that?
Yeah, we are super excited about our tax simplification efforts. And we know that taxes can be super overwhelming for micro businesses and for the self-employed, especially when your micro business finances are sort of mixed in together with your personal finances, and some of you are filing quarterly taxes so that you're doing it like five times a year. Mm-hmm. And the tax code itself is just incredibly cumbersome. So we've been working on some policy proposals to help simplify your taxes and also provide more economic security, so smoothing income over the course of the year. Mm-hmm. And in January, we surveyed Etsy sellers about the tax simplification proposals that we've been working on, and it was really awesome to see the feedback and what really resonated with Etsy sellers. And I won't get too deep into them because they're pretty nerdy, but basically the idea of automatic withholding, so an easy way to set aside a portion of your self-employment income to cover things like taxes or different expenses over the course of the year, that was really resonated with the community. And this idea that we're working on called a standard micro-business deduction. So just like how some folks take the personal deduction, you can also take essentially a personal deduction for your business. So that would be really helpful. That being said, the next sort of phase there is we are looking to find a champion in Congress to work with us on a bill or a proposal that we can really get behind. And once we're at that stage of a bill being introduced, we will definitely rally the community for the support.
Okay, now in keeping with the theme of making impact, but this time an impact on the environment, my next guest is Chelsea Mosen from our sustainability team. So Chelsea, thanks for being here today. What is your role at Etsy?
Well, thanks for having me. I lead Etsy's sustainability team, and our goal is to reduce the impact that running Etsy has on the environment. One of the things that I've been working on is our impact commitment to 100% renewable electricity. So that means that whenever you go to the Etsy webpage or the Etsy app, the power that it takes to load the page or make a transaction will be run by, on our side, 100% solar energy, which we're very excited about.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is exciting. I don't think many people think about that.
No, I don't think they do either. There's actually quite a lot behind the scenes that it takes to make that happen.
Yeah.
We're also working on ways that we can reduce our impact from shipping. Did you know that in 2017, the packages that were shipped from our sellers to our buyers traveled the equivalent of 2,180 times to Mars and back? So round trip.
That is wild. So you're also working on Etsy Solar. Can you tell me about what that is and why it's important?
Yeah, sure. Etsy Solar is a program that we developed to help sellers go solar. It provides U.S.-based sellers with a $1,000 rebate for going solar through a partner, SunPower. SunPower solar panels are excellent quality. They have an excellent track record, and their solar guides will help you from the start to the finish of the process. So they really make it easy to go solar. Going solar at home is one of the most effective ways you can reduce your footprint. And in many states, you'll even save money on your electricity bill by going solar.
Oh.
So we've made it easy for you to find out if solar is right for you. All you have to do is go to etsy.com/solar and fill out the form to request more information.
Yeah, and I know that that's related to what you were saying earlier about powering Etsy with solar energy.
That's right. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier, and I'm excited that this month we can announce that we're really serious about ensuring that our operations are powered with solar energy. So we recently signed a 15-year power purchase agreement that will allow us to run the site and the app on solar energy. The power will come from the equivalent of 36 acres of solar panels in Northern Virginia. We entered into this deal jointly with Apple and a few other tech companies. It's a pretty innovative deal, so we're thrilled that we're able to announce the project this month during Earth Month.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's very exciting news. So when it comes to sustainability, what details do shoppers care about? What do they want to know about the items that they're going to purchase?
Well, we conducted research about sustainability in the summer of 2015 to actually help us answer that question. And we did that research with over 1,000 buyers, over 2,300 sellers, and over 1,000 members of the general population. And we really uncovered some interesting trends. So we found out that buyers just, they really want to know more. They want to know the details on the materials used in a product. And they also want to know where and how an item was made and who made it. In fact, 63% of buyers surveyed wanted the information about where and how an item was made and who made it. And 68% wanted more information on the item listing pages about the materials that are used in the item.
Yeah.
People do
look at that.
They do look at it and they want to know. And this actually follows general consumer trends around wanting more transparency. So this finding wasn't surprising, but it was helpful to see that our community really wants transparency around material use.
Yeah, it's really cool to learn about some unexpected things that might be in the items that you're purchasing.
Absolutely.
So how does sustainability factor into purchasing decisions?
Well, we found that it really does factor. Many buyers prefer items that are made sustainably. So in our 2015 research, we found that 45% of the buyers said it was important to purchase from a company that uses environmentally friendly materials. So for example, that would be organic materials, vintage, fair trade, recycled, or local materials. Mm. And 45% of buyers said it was important that an item is made in an environmentally responsible way. So clear desire on the behalf of buyers for sustainable products. Then in our 2017 seller census, which interviewed approximately 4,500 Etsy sellers, it showed that Etsy sellers are really a great match for those buyers. 88% of the sellers surveyed believe that it is important to run an environmentally responsible creative business, really a lot, and which is wonderful. We have a great community of sellers that really care about these issues. However, it gets really interesting because we know that buyers want more information, and we know that our sellers are making items in ways that meet these needs of buyers, but sellers may not actually be sharing what they're doing around sustainability. So the research in 2015 showed that only 34% of sellers shared environmental or social considerations on their shop pages. So There's a gap between what sellers are sharing and what they're doing, and then what buyers really want to know.
Yeah.
So my recommendation is, if you're using sustainable materials, like I mentioned earlier, organic, vintage, recycled, fair trade, local, or other ones, Or if you have elements of your operations that are sustainable, like you reuse waste or water from your production process, or you use renewable energy like solar at home, or even if you just compost, share that story on your shop about pages or in your item descriptions. It's really easy to do. It'll help you stand out in the crowd, and buyers are looking for it.
Yeah, and I think that it's also a great way to get found by those buyers if you add those keywords into your titles and tags. Like when people are searching, people do search for, you know, organic cotton bag or, you
absolutely.
Know, yeah, like fair trade earrings or recycled stationery, like recycled paper, super popular. So
I think whatever you can do to differentiate your product is really helpful.
Yeah. And then for those buyers who maybe they missed it on your about page or elsewhere, you could try incorporating it into your social media posts sometimes, like just giving some behind the scenes looks into, you know, how you acquire this sustainable material that you use or your packaging. Speaking of packaging, how do buyers think about that?
So we found in our research that packaging actually really matters to buyers. The 2015 research showed that 68% of buyers questioned the size or amount of packaging that is generally used to ship online purchases. And 56% of them said how an item is packaged impacts their likelihood to purchase again. So buyers really, really care, but it's not always easy for a seller to walk the balance between making sure that the item is safe in transit
right.
and that they're not overpacking.
Yeah.
So my recommendation around this is to just pack as simply and safely as possible.
What about thinking about materials, the materials that you use?
So you can also focus on your material use and your packaging. For instance, you can pick items that are recycled, like using interesting waste from your production process, such as fabric scraps, or if you work with wood, wood shavings. There's a world of possibilities out there. Or I actually know of someone who has used old phone books to shred and put in packaging. So it doesn't even have to be from your own production process. Or if you just really need packaging peanuts, you can use compostable materials. So there are a variety of options, but one that stands out is a biodegradable packaging peanut, which can be found in major shops. It's a great alternative to the traditional petroleum-based packaging peanut. My recommendation is that if you use sustainable packaging, you should put a note on your packaging slip or in your confirmation to the buyer. It helps them know how to dispose of the packaging.
Oh,
it makes
true.
It easier for them, and it creates a positive experience that really may keep them coming back.
Totally. Yeah. I think that when you learn that about a seller, you get a glimpse into what they're really like, and you know that they care about their impact on the environment, and you just are like, oh, like you're a good person. You're thinking about these things, you know? It creates that connection with them.
It absolutely does, and it's not just you and me. We know that our buyers care about this.
Yeah.
So it's a great way to build that connection and to show that you're different than everyone else.
Now it's time for our lightning round, where we collected questions for you guys from the forums. So first question is for Alyssa. It comes from EDC Collective. They say, I was pleased to find out recently that Etsy seems to be trying to keep up with sales tax changes at the national level and has helped Etsy sellers with the new Washington sales tax law. I'm interested in hearing about what Etsy is doing in the way of advocacy in this area.
Great question. So you might have actually received an email from my team about internet sales tax a couple weeks ago when Congress was considering adding a really dangerous new proposal to the omnibus budget package, which was like a must-pass piece of legislation. And that proposal would have required Etsy sellers to calculate, collect, and remit taxes in every place that they sold an item, which means that they would have to keep track of sales tax, not just in every state, but in every taxing jurisdiction. And that's nearly 10,000 different tax jurisdictions. So that's pretty crazy. But Etsy sellers generated nearly 40,000 messages to Congress asking them not to include the proposal, and Congress listened. It was a really big win, and we're super excited about that. We still have to keep monitoring all of these proposals and jumping in when we could really make a difference like we did this time. Just like net neutrality, this is also an issue that's being considered both in the Congress and in courts. We recently filed an amicus brief in a Supreme Court case that's dealing with the underlying issue of internet sales tax and the Commerce Clause, and we're continuing to fight these dangerous proposals at the federal level, and we're monitoring things at the state level, and we know how crippling internet sales tax collection could be if you had to do it in almost 10,000 different sales tax jurisdictions. So we are on it.
Awesome. That's such an exciting win.
Yeah, it's all because of Etsy sellers.
Yeah, amazing. The next question is for Chelsea. William Cox from Antique French Vintage says, we recycle packaging using biodegradable packing materials, sell vintage and antiques, and recycle all of our printing materials and batteries. We also work from home. As to anything else, I would be grateful for any suggestions.
Wow, William, it really sounds like you are doing a lot already to be very sustainable, which is in line with what we see from a lot of our sellers. So that's wonderful. I'd say sounds like you have the input coming in. Vintage is a great item for encouraging sustainability. It's a great way to be sustainable. And then it sounds like you have the output in terms of how you ship things out. So I would say really focus on the middle, your process. So what do you do in order to clean the items that you get? Make sure you're using eco-friendly cleaning products. And then also be cognizant of how you actually get those items. I assume that you might be driving to get those items or other methods of transport, and just look into the mileage per gallon of that mode of transport and maybe consolidate trips to reduce your footprint there.
So Alyssa, a few sellers had questions about Etsy's international advocacy efforts. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, of course. So my team is pretty small, but we're super mighty. My teammate, her name's Angela, she leads our international advocacy efforts, and she's constantly traveling to meet with policymakers all around the world about issues that really impact Etsy and Etsy sellers. Just last week, actually, she was in France with a group of Etsy sellers talking about issues that really matter to them. And last year, she did seller fly-ins to Brussels, Berlin, London, and Geneva. And she's always looking for opportunities to bring Etsy sellers face-to-face with policymakers. Etsy sellers have actually spoken on panels at the World Trade Organization, which is like a really big deal. And they've also shared their stories at hearings on big issues like Brexit and trade agreements and everything in between. All to say, our international advocacy efforts are really aligned with the way that we do advocacy here, which is bringing Etsy sellers to the forefront and leveraging the power of the 1.9 million microbusinesses. We also ran digital organizing campaigns to try to stop a tax proposal in Australia and had a giant petition to finance ministers across the EU about a VAT campaign, which was really cool. And thousands of Etsy sellers across the EU and Australia took action on that. So it's both the in-person advocacy work and the online organizing, just like we do here in the US.
Bryn from B Studio has a question for Chelsea. They say, in the 2016 progress report, it states that the average distance Etsy packages traveled also decreased in 2016 by 4%. Does this mean you are manipulating the search results of buyers to within their own country?
Thanks for the question, Bryn. Yeah, we absolutely saw a decrease in the distance Etsy packages traveled from 2015 to 2016, and we also saw a decrease in the carbon emissions per package for the average package. However, sustainability is not at all a factor in search, so that did not have anything to do with that decrease.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all this great info.
Thanks, it was great to be here.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for all the Etsy sellers who have taken action on all of our campaigns. It makes all the difference, so thank you.
Before we wrap up for today, we'd like to bring the episode to a close with Shop Talk. We post a question in the forums and on the Etsy Success social channels, and you send us your answers by calling in or emailing us a voice memo. For this episode, we asked you to tell us about your favorite inspiring quote or mantra. Here's what you sent in.
Hi, I'm Kim from The Dark Orchid. One of the most inspiring conversations that I had back in the late 90s with a mentor, and I was first getting started, etched into my head forever the quote, "Don't be afraid to show who you are." It's forever in my brain. It reminds me every time I create something weird or outside of the box and I'm afraid that it might not be received well, that there's a market for everything and that I have a place in the world.
Hi, my name is Debbie Neal, and my shop name is Debbie Neal, and I sell modern art inspired by the Pacific Northwest. And my favorite quote is, "Why not me? I can totally make this happen. I see all these other shops out there that are doing incredible business, and I know I can be one of them." So that is what keeps me going, just thinking, why not me? Why can't I be one of those people? I can be one of those people.
Hi, this is Terry from Talisman 2.
My life motto is, leap and the net appears. This is a quote from John Burroughs, which I came across when I was making up little labels for my hair accessories in my Talisman Studio shop back in, I think it was 2000 or so. I took it upon myself. Whenever, you know, I need to do something, I just do it. And I have come close to wondering when that net would appear. But so far, it always has.
That's it for today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a moment, please rate us on iTunes. And we want to know more about you, so please fill out our listener survey at etsy.me/podcastsurvey. There's a link in the description of this episode. Thanks for listening.